Good morning. Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's he doing back there, you're saying? I don't know. Hey, it's Sunday. It's that time of the day. I brought my stool because it's going to be a long message. And if you're going to sit down all day, I'm sitting down too. How's that? So, how was everybody's Thanksgiving?
Great.
Mine was, it was. Well, it's going to be a short sermon because we got leftovers and I'm going back to eat them. That's how, it was very good. Thank you. Let me read something to you and then we're going to get into where I want to go in the text. By the grace of God, I am what I am. This is from Oswald Chambers. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but it's a great devotionals. And I was reading this morning, and God just kind of put it together with the message. And the music, by the way. Thank you for the music this morning. It was touching. It says, the way we continually talk about our own inability is an insult to the Creator. Listen to what I'm saying here. Please. The developing of our incompetence is a slander, or deploring of our incompetence is a slander against God for having overlooked us. Get into the habit of examining in the sight of God the things that sound humble before men, and you will be amazed at how staggeringly impertinent they are. Oh, I shouldn't like to say that I'm sanctified. I'm not a saint. Say that before God, it means, no, Lord, it's impossible for you to save and to sanctify me. There are chances I have not had so many imperfections in my brain and body. No, Lord, it isn't possible. That may sound wonderful, wonderfully humble before men, but before God, it's an attitude of defiance. Again, the things that sound humble before God may sound the opposite before men. To say, thank you, God. I know I'm saved and sanctified in the sight of God, the acme of humility. It means you have so completely abandoned yourself to God that you know He is true. Never bother your head as to whether what you say sounds humble before men or not, but always be humble before God and let Him be all in all. There's only one relationship that matters, and that is your personal relationship to a personal Redeemer and Lord. Let everything else go, but remain that at all costs, and God will fulfill His purpose through your life. One individual life may be a priceless value to God's purpose, and yours may be that life. Do you believe that? Today we're going to be looking at thanks. We just celebrated Thanksgiving a couple days ago. And we had a gathering around the house. We had 11 folks come over for a little snack. and then before we started eating, I just said, for the prayer, it says, just give one thing you're thankful for. That's one. And sometimes people get stumped as to what to give thanks for. Well, I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my new car. I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for that. What are you thankful for? How do you express your thanks? How do you express your thanks to each other? What do you say to somebody when they give you something? I deserved it. I don't know who brought the cookies, but this should be here. I deserve it. Is that what we do? When we go to other people's houses and they entertain us and they house us and they feed us and everything else, and then we go back home and then we send them a little note that says, well, it was nice, but you know, the bed was a little and the sheets weren't right and the food could have been a little spicier and is this what we do? How do you give thanks? Is a question. There's an answer. And you're going to be amazed where you can find it. It's in the Bible. Yeah, it's an amazing place. Take your Bibles with me and turn to Psalm 100. It's a short psalm. It only has 85 words, only five verses. But it's packed. And we're going to unpack this thing so that we can take this home today and see about giving thanks. Once you find it in your Bible, please give me an amen. That tells me somebody's found it. Amen. Alrighty. Amen. So, my version goes like this. It says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. Now, if you're going to read it that way, I'll guarantee you, I'll have you asleep in 35 seconds. Okay, get comfortable. Make sure you get your neck brace on. But is this what really was going on here? Anybody watch the Beaver Duck game last night? Anybody watch that? Huh? So unfortunately, oh, there's the Beaver fan right there. Who's the Duck fan? Duck fan? Who's the Duck? Anybody a Duck fan? No Duck fans. I'm a Duck fan. Actually, I'm not, but it doesn't make a difference because I never went to any colleges in Oregon, so it made no difference to me who won. But the game was good. But I want you to notice how loud you got just now when we found out there were no Duck fans. What just happened? Did you get loud? She got loud, didn't she? We tend to get loud when we want to celebrate some things. I'm sure once the Beavers finally figured out how to make a touchdown yesterday, you probably got excited. And then just think about the Duck fans, about how they were just excited from the first get-go. Bam, right down, bam, right into the end zone. How excited do you get? Well, when we look at this passage from Psalm 100, I want you to notice that there's going to be seven verbs that we want to play with. And these are addressed to each and every one of us, individually and corporately. Individually as we worship at home and corporately as we worship here today. And this Psalm 100 is called a Psalm of Thanksgiving. It's the only one out of all the Psalms that's specifically written to give thanks. Now you'll see a lot of the other Psalms says, give thanks with a cheerful heart, you'll see all this. But this one here is entitled a Psalm of Thanksgiving. Written by David. When you read this psalm, when you go home again, reread it again. And then tomorrow, and the following tomorrow, and the next tomorrow, and the next tomorrow. Start reading it. Start looking at what this thing is really saying, and start unpacking it with yourself and with your family. It says, give thanks with a grateful heart, a joyful heart. You want to give joyful heart. We want to fill our hearts. So what are we looking at? What are some of the verbs that we want to look at? Well, we got make, serve, come, know, enter, be thankful, bless. Those are your verbs. This is what we're to do. Anybody familiar with Peterson, Eugene Peterson? He wrote a thing called A Message. And it's a one-man, easy to read. It's not really a study Bible. It's a really neat thing to read it. And this is how he writes this, Psalm 100. He says, on your feet now, applaud God. Bring a gift of laughter. Sing yourself into his presence. Know this, God is God, and God. He made us. We didn't make him. We're his people, his well-tended sheep. Enter with the password, thank you. Make yourself at home. Talk and praise, thank him, worship him, for God is sheer beauty, all generous in love, loyal always and forever. Don't you love that? So anytime you get a chance to read it, get the message, and just read alongside with it with the other version of your Bibles, and you're going to start seeing some great stuff. And like I said, it's not a study Bible, it's a great add to. So make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. What do you mean by these verbs to shout? What is to shout? And we use the word yell here in America. I mean, if you go outside of America, they don't understand, most parts don't understand what the word yell means. But if they understand the word shout. So you shouted a little bit earlier when the Beavers, when there was no duck fans. That was shouting, yes? Yes, a little bit. So how do we shout? That's it? How do we shout? Give me some. Shout. It says.
You shout.
You shout. You shout. All right? So it says, make a joyful noise. Shout to the Lord. Shout to the Lord. How's that? Now, I have a microphone, and if you turned it off, so I don't really need a microphone, but in case you want to record it, this is why they put it on there, okay? So when we come into worship, when you're even at home, how do you shout to the Lord at home? Do you read the Bible at home? Do you pray at home? Do you get excited about reading the Bible at home? Do you get enthused about reading the Bible at home? And do you shout to the Lord when you're home? And then you take that shouting and that enthusiasm and even that excitement about reading his passage and understanding that you're giving thanks to the Lord, do you take that back here and join together with your brothers and sisters as we come together united in Christ to celebrate him with the words, passwords, thank you? When we come and celebrate him, when we come to give him thanks, how do we do that in worship? Do we come and just stand or just sit? Or do we come celebrating? Celebrating greater than the Ducks beating the Beavers. Celebrating greater than San Francisco beating Kansas City. Celebrating greater than anything that you've ever done is to shout to the Lord. Shout to the Lord, all you lands. This isn't just specific for us. In Oregon, Salem, Battle Creek. It's to the Lord, all you lands. This is the gospel that we're to take throughout the world so that they too can shout to the Lord. Amen? Amen? Amen.
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 That's the shout. You're not shouting to me, shout to the Lord. Say amen.
Amen.
Say it again.
Amen.
Shout to the Lord.
Amen.
Praise God. It's to raise the sound, to cry out, give a blast. Raise the sound level. Oh, we can't do that. We're in church. We have to be so careful. So prim and proper. And on time. Not here. Okay. A glad shout. Think of it this way. If the king comes in our case, it would be President Obama. He comes in, and he comes in, and we look. Oh, look, President Obama. Okay, sit down. Some might. But if you're a big President Obama fan, and we don't have to love his politics, but we must love the man. So he comes in, and how shall we greet him? Oh, it's President Obama. Mm-hmm. Or shall we greet him with cheers as the one who is in command of this country? Because God put him there. Romans 13. So when he comes in, we're to greet the man and with applause and greet the man with and shouts and greet the man and joyfully respect his title. Well, when we come before God, aren't we to do the same thing only more? Aren't we to shout to God, wow, shout to the Lord all you lands. We respect the person whom we're coming in to shout about, and that's God. Wow, two syllables. God. Three syllables. I don't know where that comes from, but there it is. To shout out louder to God in praise than we do when the Seahawks win a game. Amen?
Amen.
We have some Seahawk fans here.
Represent you guys.
We, the people of God, shout out our praise to Him because we are happy. We are happy to praise Him. Are you happy to praise God? Are you happy to praise God?
Yes.
Really? You sure? Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. We want all the lands of this country, this world, these villages. We want the lands to be shouting to God. Praise the Lord! And pass the salt. Praise the Lord, we want to be shouting out to the Lord. Make a joyful shout to the Lord. Jehovah! This is Jehovah in the Hebrew. Make a joyful noise to Jehovah. This is who we're making a joyful. All the lands. So where does Jehovah belong? Well, we're going to kick out Muhammad. We're going to kick out Allah. We're going to kick out Buddha. We're going to kick out all the rest of them and replace them with who? Jehovah. How do we do that? Sharing the gospel. So that all the lands can praise Jehovah. What is that? What about that? Does that turn your blood wanting to say it's time to share this with other people? Let's shout to the Lord, Jehovah, the existing one, the proper name of the true God. All the lands, everything. Your house, your neighbor's house. This city, this county, this state, this nation, this everything. The lands is who we're to do. And it refers to Gentiles and Jews alike. Gentile. This was written for Dave, from David and for the Jews, and is also written for the Gentiles. For all the lands. It wasn't just going to be Jewish specific. It was for all the lands. And this refers back for you and me. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. How much are you hearing this throughout all the earth right now? It seems to me like the Christians are being shut down. And we're not getting up and doing anything about it. Shame on us. Oh, that just isn't polite. I mean, you just can't do this. You might hurt somebody's feelings. You might do this. Hello, it tells us the gospel is an offense. And yet we can tolerate all the rest of the buffoonery that's going on. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Amen? Well, now that we're going to shout to God and then come into His presence, how are we going to do it? Well, we're going to look at the next one. It says, serve. We're going to serve. Serve what? Serve Yahweh, Jehovah, with gladness. Ooh. You know, I love being a Christian. I love being a Christian. You want to be a Christian just like me? I want to worship God. You want to worship God with me?
I thought it was.
I'm happy. You want to be worshiping God with me? I have gladness. I do. Serve with gladness. Serve God, Yahweh, Jehovah, with gladness. Do you have gladness in you? Is it just screaming when it come out? Or are you going to sit there and go, I have gladness. Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. That means also to worship the Lord with gladness. In the context, this means to serve and worship God with joy, gladness, everything that there is, mirth. And it's just You can have laughter in there. You can have joy in there. You got gladness in there. Are you glad to be here today? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Two people. Praise God. We got two people here. Oh, happy. Three people. Four people. Everybody else is going, is it time to go home yet? Then we get happy about that. So if you're out of the 85 words that we're counting, that we're using here, I think I've used, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So we have about another 70 left. So hang 10. Okay. Serve the Lord with gladness. So we're going to shout. That's the first one. Shout to Yahweh, Jehovah. Let all the lands do that. Then we're going to serve him with what? With gladness. And then and that joy and an overwhelming just wow factor. Wow. Wow. And we're going to serve him with that. And worship. And everything else that we're going to do in our daily life. And see, we're going to do this daily. And how do we do that? Well, in James 1:22, it says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. If you're going to worship him, you're going to serve him with gladness. We're going to do that by working, by helping others. Our family members. And who is our family, they say? Well, you're my family. So we help one another. And what about those who hate us? Yeah, we work with them too. So, and then look at Matthew 25, 31 through 46. How do we know who we're to serve? How do we serve God? Do we just serve God by coming in here and moving our lips? How do we serve God? In Matthew 25, Verse 31 says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations. Oh, there's all the nations again. And he will separate the people one from another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place on the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on the right, come you, who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For when I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Pause. So here you are standing in front of him. And you're going, what? When did this happen? And then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison or visit you? And the King Jesus, will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it for one of the least of these of my brothers, you did it to me. So we're going to serve with gladness. We're going to serve with gladness. We're going to serve with gladness. Are you serving with gladness? Are you worshiping with gladness? Are you looking at the needs of today and worshiping God by serving others? By serving God. Wow. You know, there's a great little Christmas thing over here that Sherman's running. That would be one way of doing that. Another way of doing that is knowing when somebody needs something and quietly just be played as what they call a secret Santa or something like that. And then you just go and all of a sudden it shows up at somebody's door. Or maybe it's just you have the feeling that you need to call somebody. I don't know why I got to call John, but I'm going to call John. We talk. Hi, John. How you doing?
Good. How about you?
Doing great. What's up?
The sky.
Sky's up. Amen. You a Duck fan? Okay, so... So I got to call John. I don't know why I got to call John, but I'm going to call John, and somewhere along the line I'm serving God. I'm worshiping God because I'm listening to God And I'm listening because he says, call my brother. That's one way. Serve the Lord with gladness. Serve. That's a verb. It's not a suggestion. It's a verb. Worship him. Work it. Serve others. Serve him. Serve the Lord with gladness. Then the next word is, you want to come. I love this one. Come before his presence. How? With singing. Now, I would suggest that you really sing loudly because when we come together and I start singing, you want to protect yourselves at all times. Amen? I think that's only fair. I should warn you. But I'm going to sing. And the more I study this passage, the more I sing. Amen. And to protect myself, I take my hearing aids out. And so but I'm going to sing to the Lord with gladness. Amen? Why not? We're going to come before him, before his presence. You're in the presence of God. Think of Moses, the bush. He says, take your sandals off. Why? Because you're standing on holy ground. We have a song that we're standing on holy ground. We are standing on holy ground. Okay? Told you, protect yourselves. We're standing on holy ground. Come before him. Come before him. Come to enter. You're entering into his presence. Come before him in his presence. Come. How? We're going to come shouting. We're going to come serving. We're going to have gladness. We're going to have this. And we're in the presence of the holy God. How's that for being thankful? Are you thankful he even allows you to do this? Do you realize that the only reason we could come before him today without the curtain is because of one person, and his name was King Jesus, Priest Jesus, Prophet Jesus. He had all three roles. And when he said, and the curtain split from the top to the bottom, it says, welcome, come into the presence of God. You don't need intermediaries. You don't need a curtain. You don't need to have high priests. You can come before God. You're in the presence of God today. How does that make you feel?
Great.
Anybody feel like shouting? You're in the presence of God. Not idols. God. How does that make you feel? Huh? Glad. How else?
Thankful.
What else?
Humble.
Humble. What else? Blessed. What else? You're in the presence of God. How's that make you feel? God of God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Creator of all, is allowing you to be in his presence. And he doesn't go like that. He knows you best and loves you the most. And he doesn't go like that. I looked at my qualifications to be in the presence of God. There they are, written on my right hand. Can you read them? Well, if I took the pen and wrote one thing on there, I would put the name Jesus. That's the only way I can stand in the presence of God. And he's saying, come. Come. Are you ready to come before God? Do you realize that every day is a day of worship? Every day is a day of giving thanks to God? Every day you come before God and you shout to God. Every day you come before God and you're gonna serve God. And then every day you're going to come to God. How's that make you feel for getting up in the morning? You excited? Or enthused? Are you ready? Are you ready for today? You see, we're to worship God every day and give him thanks every day. And then even on Sunday, then we come corporately and do it together. This is why there should never be any seats in between people. Because you want to be together. And I hate the other seating. Because all you see is the person in the back of the person's head. I would love to have these seats around so you can see each other. And remember, If you're complaining about your neighbor singing, then you're not paying attention to what you're supposed to be doing, because you should be singing to God and not paying attention to your neighbor singing. Amen? So we can all shout to God together. We can all shout, and we all come before Him. And John 1:31, chapter 1, verse 35, is John the Baptist. And he says, the next day John was standing with two of his disciples, and we know who they are, Andrew and John. And he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, behold, behold, looky. That would be the new word for today, I guess. Behold, the Lamb of God. Lamb of God. That has significance. The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them, followed and said to them, what are you seeking? And that question is still today, what are you seeking? What are you seeking? Are you trying to seek how to serve the Lord? How to shout to the Lord? How to be glad in His presence? How to be thankful in His presence? Are you seeking Him? Are you serving Him? And He says to you, what are you seeking? And they said, Rabboni, which means teacher. Where are you going? He said, come. Come. And you will see. What's the passage here say? Come before His presence. With singing. Jesus is inviting you to come. Are you coming to Jesus? Are you accepting His invitation to come? Come and see. Do you want to see what Jesus has got planned for you? No. Because then I'd have to give up everything I want. I like going to church on Sunday, and I hope it doesn't last any more than an hour and a half. Because then the 166 and a half hours that are left of the week are mine. Amen? But I went to church. Praise God. I was glad. Come to His presence. He allows us in His presence, and you come with singing. So why do we sing in worship? Why do we sing at home? Because you're in the presence of God, and you're glad heart. And you want to say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes. What else? What else? What else can I do for you? I want to shout, I want to serve, and I want to come. The first three verses of this passage. Are you excited or enthused about coming to church today? Are you excited or enthused about getting up today? Are you ready to serve? Are you ready to shout? And are you ready to come into His presence? With singing? Or is this just a formality? Just a place to be before the football game and before lunch? What is this all about today? What is Thanksgiving Day all about? And why do we only have one day of it in the year? We know that Thanksgiving is just a prelude to Christmas, which is prelude to Black Friday, Cyber Monday, Gray Tuesday, Red Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, because you're in debt. And then you. So what is Thanksgiving? What is Thanksgiving? So now we see. Now we're seeing what some things that are going on here. We're saying, shout, serve, come. And then he says, no. No, K-N-O-W, not N-O. No, that the Lord, He is God. Do you remember in the book of Acts, when Paul, in chapter 17, when Paul's in Athens, and he's walking around, and you see, we have a lot of religion back then. Jesus didn't come to start another religion. Okay, He didn't do that. There was enough religion in the world already. Today, we have a lot of religion. I mean, we're not a pagan nation in America. We're polytheistic, yes. Paganistic, yes. Christian, nah. So we have a lot of gods out there. And a lot of people disagree with me. That's fine. But the thing is that we got a lot of gods out there that are being worshipped. And one of them is an unknown god. And this was what happened in Athens. They had a statue on there. They covered their bases and everything. They had Hercules and some Lees and Sister Lees and all their other E's. And then there's one that says, the unknown God. That's just to cover our bases, because we missed anybody. So how do you worship something you don't know? Can it be done? Well, you can try. But the Bible says, no. What do you want to know? That the Lord, He is God. That verb, no. You need to know God. Why? He's going to tell us. Right here. Not going to waste any time here. He says, look, shout, serve, come. No. No. You ready to know God? You want to know why you want to know God? He tells us. He's the one who made us. Oh, no, no. We're part of the Big Bang Theory. Oh, no, no, no. We come from guppies and monkeys and through evolution. No, I'm a self-made man. I can worship myself. We have all these gods that we're worshiping. And he says, no, no. That the Lord, He is God. Elohim. Jehovah. He made us. And take it all the way back to Genesis. We were created in His image. In the image of God, He created us. Man and woman. We did not make ourselves. So why do we take so much pride in all the stuff that we do? Sin. Why do we take the glory away from God? Sin. Why do we claim evolution is true when it's such a stupid theory that they can't even get close to even try to prove it, and yet it's been accepted as gospel? Why? Because they want you to go away from God. Take God out of every equation, and you got what we got today. Isn't that wonderful? And this happens in a lot of churches also. He says, know that the Lord is God. Is the Lord your God? Who is your God? Do you know your God? Do you know that He made you? Do you know in Psalm 139 and 14 it says, marvel at that He is fearfully, I was fearfully and wonderfully made. I was fearfully and wonderfully made. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are His works. He doesn't make junk. He knew us before and put us in our mother's womb. Don't go with the Mormon stuff. He knew us and then put us in our mother's womb. He made us. And we, say it with me, we, say it with me, we, say it, we are His, we are His. Does that make you excited? Are you enthused about being His? Does it even strike you the fact that you're in His presence? He says, you're mine. Do you want to be God's mine? Or do you want to be the world's mine? The world will tell you that God doesn't exist. The world will tell you that, you know, we're created out of our own selves. The world tells you a lot of stupid stuff. Unless, of course, it's on internet, television, and newspaper, and then it's always true. What do you believe? Know that the Lord, He is God. He is His who made us, and we are His. Simple, isn't it? Isn't that wonderful when you can know who God is, that He made us, and that we can go to Him in His presence? I don't know of any other God besides our God that allows us to do that. There is no other God. And then he says, watch this. He says, and we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Wait a minute. We're what? We're His people. I don't know about you, but you might want to check with Muhammad and see about that. You might want to check with Buddhism and see about that, and Hinduism and see about that. about whether or not their people are his. And about whether or not they're the sheep of his pasture, because they get very selective on pastures. And if your pasture isn't exactly like my pasture, I'm going to kill you. It's that simple. And it tells us that, and that, you know, that the shepherd, remember in Psalm 23? The Lord is my, I shall not want. So it tells us that we are his. We are his people. Oh, look at this. It's a God hug. And he says, I'm a sheep in his pasture. Wow. Let's have some fun here. Everybody go, bah. Come on. Bah. Do it again. Do it again. Bah. Oh, this is so silly. Take the man away. Bah. You're a sheep in his pasture. How's it feel? Oh, I love being a sheep in his pasture. I love it. Isn't that wonderful? I could stand up here, get the big bucks, and go, bah. No, wait a minute. I don't get paid, do I? Never mind. Okay. Isn't that wonderful being a sheep in his pasture? It kind of brings us where we belong, in his presence, worshiping him. Being totally dependent and relying upon him. Allowing him to be the shepherd and us being the sheep. That means he's going to correct us as need be. And lead us as need be. And guide us as need be. And care for us as need be. And take care of us as need be. And he's going to love us no matter what. Isn't that neat? Oh, I love being a sheep. How about you? Oh, yay. Giving thanks to God. In John 10, 11 through 16, Jesus is speaking. He says, I, ego, and me. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not know his sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. We have a lot of pastors that are doing that. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I, ego, am me, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own knows me. You know God. You know God? Do you know he's your shepherd? Just as my Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. He's talking about you and me. We're not Jewish, but we're part of his fold. How does that make you feel? Oh, I'm his sheep. Bah. Amen. Oh. And out of his fold, I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. Are you listening to his voice? So there will be one flock, one shepherd. Amen. Jesus Christ is him. What about that? Know that the Lord, he is God, is he who made us. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Enter. So now we know that we're going to shout. We're going to serve. We're going to come. We're going to know. And now we're going to enter. Oh, enter his gates with what? Whining, complaining, wants, lists, and everything else. Amen? There's a great story. I was going to bring the big garbage bags, you know, those big black ones. I was going to bring those and fill them. And I was going to bring like a dozen of those things and just bring them up here. And then I was going to bring one of those little baggy things about this big. I was going to bring that up here also. And I was going to let you just look at them and decide what they were. I'm such a cruel pastor. What are those? Well, those are bags of prayer requests. And the angels are going to come down and pick up all those, you know, that's a whole gazillion of them, and pick up all these bags of prayer and bring them up to heaven. And then you got the little one here, about this big. And what is that? Well, that's a little bag of thanks. How are your thanks compared to how are you asking? How are your thanks compared to your wants? How are your thanks compared to your uplifting? Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Are you bringing thanksgiving to God? Are we bringing thanksgiving to God? You see, now we went from personal now right into corporate. Right now we're coming together with thanksgiving. How's our thanksgiving? Are we praising God, giving thanks to God? Are we enjoying being in the presence of God? Are we enjoying being in the presence of each other, worshiping God together? Are we really shouting to the Lord? Are we ready to serve each other by serving him, by serving each other? Are we ready to come into his presence? Are we ready to enter with thanksgiving? Are you ready, brothers and sisters, to really thank God? Are you? Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Wow. You remember the story in Isaiah chapter 6? When Isaiah is there, he's in the presence of God, and he's just touching the outer rim of his robe, very pictorial. And he's going, woe is me, I'm a sinner, man of unclean lips. But he was in the presence of God. And he's listening to God, and God says, who are we going to send? And Isaiah goes, hi, send me. You're in the presence of God today. You're in the presence of God at home when you're also worshiping him at home. Are you entering his courts with praise? Are you giving God thank yous and the praises that says, you know what? I have a wonderful jacket on my back. Praise God. I have a home. Praise God. I have parents. Praise God. I can take you to Sierra Leone right now and show you some families that have nothing. This Ebola is eating our lunch over there. I have a 14-month-old girl who we have no idea where she's from, but she's in a holding center. We don't know anything about her. We have a 10-year-old and a 5-year-old sister. That's all that's left of a family of 13. Because Ebola has killed everybody else. We have that. And you know, when you go over there and start talking to these people, and they're suffering so much loss, so much pain, so much hurt, and yet they're praising God. And we come over here and we whine about everything. Shame on us. Shame on us. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Are you thankful for what God has given you? Are you thankful for that Thanksgiving meal you just celebrated? Are you thankful for the fact that you can be here this morning in the presence of God with your brothers and sisters to praise him, to shout out to him, to serve him, to come and to enter his presence with thanksgiving? We can't be what we've been. We have to be better at breaking down and saying, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes. We have to quit being so self-centered, so self-occupied, so selfish, so everything else, that we finally say, enough of that! And come into his presence and say with thanksgiving, thank you, Jesus, for putting me up with me as you have. And I submit to you now all my thoughts to your authority. All my heart to your authority. I submit to you right now as I come into your presence. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Give thanks to him. Give thanks to him. There are many songs out there. Give thanks with a joyful heart. Give thanks with a joyful heart. Give thanks with a joyful heart. Give thanks to Yahweh. Bless his name. You get to bless God. You know, you can't do anything with God. He's got it all, but he's waiting to hear from you. Says, come on. Come on. Bless his name. Bless his holy name. Rather than taking it in vain, let's bless it. And let's bless it amongst each other. Bless his name. So that's the other verb. So we're going to enter his gates. We're going to give thanks, another verb. And we're going to bless, another verb, his name. This is an action-packed psalm. 85 words, action-packed. We can't just sit there, bump on the log, and say, wow, that was really neat. We're going to have to do something when we leave here, right now, starting now. We have to make the concentrated effort that says, you know what? This passage is all about glorifying and praising God and giving thanks to God. It's all about the created, going to the created, creator, and giving thanks to him. It's about the pot going to the potter. It's about the saved going to the Savior. It's about man, Adam, going to God, Elohim, Jehovah, Yahweh. It's about us recognizing who we are, loved by him, created by him, wanted by him, who will come to him. It's about us saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. About us giving thanks to God. Oh, what are you thankful for? What are you thankful for? And why do we want to do all this? For Yahweh, the Lord, he's good. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. There's never once when he's not good. This God of Abraham, this God of Adam, is the same God of you. He was good then, he's good today. You see, the one thing about him is that he doesn't change. His yesterday is like today. His today is like tomorrow. And this is why we can come to him and say, he's the same God that David worshipped. Oh, wow. He's the same God that Jesus prayed to in the garden and every other time. He's the same God that we can come to today and say, thank you. Thank you. Does that get your blood stirred? I don't know how you're sitting there. I'm not. I just can't sit. I brought a stool. I'm not using it. All right? You got to get on fire here. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Woo! Wow. Why? For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. How long is forever? Well, let me see. Day one, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Day two, forever, forever, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. It's forever. We have no concept of forever. Unless you're a kid. Christmas is never going to get here. It's going to be forever. Amen? His steadfast love. Oh, endures forever. Forever, forever. His steadfast love. Pick it up. For you. For me. It's forever. So when our last breath is here and our first breath up there, he's going to love us forever. And his faithfulness to all generations. If you start looking at generations here, we have many generational. So we have, it's called generational. Okay. So we have little one, then we have mom and dad. And then we have mom and dad to the mom and dad, of which we then have mom and dads to the mom and dads, and then all the way up to generationals, all generations. Lynn and I just became great grandparents, and now we have two of them within 1 week. Whew. I'm too old, too young for this, but she's the right age. Okay. So we have, how many generations is that? That's four. So there's, and then add a mom, that's five. Generations. God is going to be faithful to us in all generations. How are you bringing up your kids? Your grandkids, your great-grandkids. And if you have any great-great-grandkids. He is faithful. He is faithful. So today, as we look at the psalm, and we close today with this psalm, I pray that it's going to be in your heart. I pray that it goes from the 18 inches between your ears down to the down to here. Okay. Go from here down to here, 18 inches. I pray that it gets out of here and gets into here. I pray that it gets out of here, into here, and into here. I pray that it gets out of here, into here, and into here. I pray that it gets out of here, into here, into here, into here, out of here. I pray that we're going to take those seven verbs, that we're going to shout, that we're going to serve, that we're going to come, that we're going to enter, that we're going to give, that we're going to bless. And then we're going to say, oh God, who am I but thank you? Oh God, who am I but thank you? Oh God, thank you. In Jesus' name, thank you. Today. Today is the first day. Give thanks with a cheerful heart. Give thanks and praise his name, for he is God and there is no other. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you.